Yes, yes, praise him. Yes, praise him. Praise him. Come on, Jesus. Blessed Savior. Come on, he's worthy. Come on, sing. Come on, from the rising. Come on, come on. Until. Come on, he's worthy. Come on, church, he's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, you're alive. You are alive. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, praise him. Praise him early in the morning. You ought to praise him in the evening. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Amen, amen. Come on and bless the Lord tonight. Amen, amen. Thank God for that quick reminder tonight that the Lord is worthy to be praised. And when you praise the Lord, you feel much better. Amen? Won't he do it? Won't the Lord do it? Won't the Lord make you feel much better when you start praising God? Praising God will take your mind off your problems and put your mind on God. And God will fix your problems. God will not patch your problems, but God will fix your problems. And I'm glad about it tonight that we serve a God who will fix it and not patch it. All I'm ready.
I am so ready tonight. Hey!
We are so thankful and grateful for the Spirit of the living God here with us tonight. So thankful and grateful for your prayers. Thank God for this opportunity to worship him in spirit as well as in truth. What you put in is what you get out. So we're ready to experience who God is. Welcome. Let go and let God have his way. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to open up with St. Paul giving us two wonderful selections. And after they give us two wonderful selections, we have our prayer by Reverend Ingram. And after our prayer, we have our scripture reading. And after our scripture reading, we will ask, amen, Pleasant Shade to make that transition to come to the choir stand. And they will give a selection of their choice. And then we will have an offering. We give them with joy, with excitement, as generous Christians. Exercising the spirit of generosity during the revival. Then we had a presentation of our sermonic hymn from the great choir. And then we'll hear from our preacher. And then we'll exit the church and remain practical Christians. At this time, we will have St. Paul AME Church from Ozark, Alabama, allowing God to use them with two wonderful, powerful selections. Thank you all. Thank you. Uh-huh. Get up just a little bit more for God. Amen. Amen. We're going to praise Him. I love to praise Him.
I love to praise His name.
I love to praise Him.
I love to praise His name.
I love to praise Him.
I love to praise His name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise His name. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise His name. Oh, I love to pray. Oh, I love to pray. Oh, I love to pray. Yeah.
Lord is here, he's the will. In the middle of the wind, I know he'll never, never let me down. He's just a jewel that I have found. Glory, hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I love to praise his name. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to praise his name. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to praise his name. Oh, I love to pray. Oh, I love to pray. Oh, I love to praise his holy name. Yeah. 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 Woo.
This morning when I rose, yeah.
Wonderful way to start off a revival. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this blessed day. It was you who opened our eyes this morning to be here tonight. We didn't come on our own accord, but it was your Holy Ghost that brought us here. And Father, while we're here, we ask that you revive us, renew us, and restore a right spirit within us, that we may come to worship you and give glory to your holy name. As we go through these 3 days of revival, God, we ask that you lead us, strengthen us, and guide us. Have your way in this holy house, that some soul may be saved. Father, we need you now, and we recognize that without you, we can do nothing. But because of who you are who we are, and we are your child, and we come tonight, dear God, to lift you up in heaven, to glorify your mighty name, to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. You've been good. You are a masterful God, and we come to worship you in the spirit of truth and in goodness. Father, we ask that you bless the man that's going to break the bread of life. Bless him as he blesses us with the word of God. Oh, God, we need you in a time like this. In a time and a day like this, Lord, we need an anchor. And you sent that anchor in the Son, your Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for that. And tonight, dear God, we lift you up in praise because you're worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise. And God, we give you glory in this house tonight. We give you praise because you are worthy of all of our worship. And God, we thank you and we give you all that we are because you made us all that we are. You created us in your image. Let us show a dying world that your power has not lost its force. God, we thank you. Have your way in this holy house tonight. In Jesus' name we give thanks and praise. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. The book of Psalms, Psalms 31, verse 1 through 7, it reads such as this. It says, O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ears to listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. You are my rock and my fortress, for the honor of your name leads me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me, for I find protection in you alone, and I entrust my spirit into your hands. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. I hate those who worship worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my trouble and you care about the anguish of my soul. God's word for God's people. Thank you.
to be somewhere, Lord. I really want to be somewhere. Oh, so I can sit at the table, feed some honey, shouting, tired, praying, tired.
Tonight, amen, amen. Thank God for that wonderful, powerful selection. We're so thankful and grateful for Pleasant Shade allowing God to use them tonight. So thankful and grateful for St. Paul AME Church allowing God to use them tonight. Come on, y'all, and bless the Lord one more time, amen, amen, amen. And that's how you live a well done life, amen. Singing with joy. Amen. Praising God with joy. Amen. And participating together. When one sing, we all sing. When one rejoice, we all rejoice. Amen. Come on, come on. No haters in God's house. Amen. No jealousy in God's house. Amen. Because the same God that's blessing you can bless me real good. Is there anybody here who can testify that when the Lord is passing out blessings, he'll stop by your house just like he just stopped by my house and bless you real good? Come on and flex tonight. You ought to smile back at me. I see you flexing tonight. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that. Lord have mercy. Thank God for you all. Some powerful Christians. Excited, ready for God to move. And when you come to the buffet, you come hungry. Never come to the buffet full. Stay in the car. Pull up a golden corral full. You come home. So when you come to church, you come to church hungry. Ready to eat. Buffet style. All you can eat. Thank God for you. We ready, officers? Let's get ready to lift our offering tonight. Thank God for you. Let's prepare in our giving. Let's prepare in our giving. Come on, keep flexing. There you go. There you go. Keep flexing. Sister White flexing. There you go. Sister Thomas flexing. There you go. Keep flexing. Y'all flex, flex. Sister Harden, there you go. Sister Roberts, look at you flexing. Good, good. Brother Crawford, there you go. Keep flexing. There you go. Y'all smiling. There it is. Sister, oh, look at you. Dr. Denby, you flexing, girl. Look at you. Good. Y'all flexing hard. Good. Smiling. There you. Sean, I see you. Flexing. There you go. Good. Keep flexing. We're going to ask who all can and will. You all still have your $20 available. $20, we're asking our members for $25 for the giving and the support of the revival. We're asking the members for $25 for the support of the revival. Some of you all are saying that's way too low for our church, but you all are giving the $25 in support of the revival. And some of you all have already given $25. Some of you all are giving above and beyond $25. And we're so thankful and grateful for you all for taking the challenge to give above and beyond the $25 here in our church. But thank God for you. Amen. Amen. God gives seed to the sower. Amen. Amen. So that's why you're blessed like that, because you keep sowing. It doesn't make sense to give you seed and you're not going to sow. You're wondering why you're not receiving seed, because you're not sowing. But if you sow, he wants to keep giving you seed because you're a sower. So keep sowing, keep giving. Thank you all. So Pleasant Shade is going to give us some good giving music. Amen. Some good marching music. And we're going to give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for we know that God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. So at this time, we're going to ask you all, will please stand. We're going to follow the leadership of our ushers. As they come around and give, as we come around and give, come on, ushers, let us come around and give while the choir give us a selection of the choice. Bless you, choir.
There's a man coming.
We'll be ready.
There's a man coming. He said it were coming, but it didn't say when. He said it were coming, you got to be ready, my friend. No man know the day or the hour, but when it comes, I wanna be in that number. There's a man coming here. There's a man coming. There's a man coming here. Will you? Got to be ready. You got to be ready. You just don't know when the man gonna come. You got to be ready, y'all. Call on your name, and maybe in the midnight hour when he comes, y'all. But he's coming back one day. But that is for anger. You gotta be ready. You got to be ready. You gotta be ready. Got to be ready. You ain't ready. You're not going. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Got to be ready. There's a man coming. There's a man coming. Yes, it is. There's a man coming. Will you? Wait a minute here. Wait a minute, y'all. No.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We do honor the Spirit of the Living God here with us tonight. We are so thankful and grateful for you all for being givers and not takers, for being contributors and not consumers, for being participators all day and all night long. Thank God for you. We do thank God for the officers of John's Chapel AME Church. Thank God for our prayer team that has been praying for this great revival all week long as well as all month long. We see the results from our prayer warriors. So thankful for our visiting officers who are here with us tonight. Thank God for you. So thankful for the pastor preachers who are here. Amen. Pastor Joshua Mann, amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Thank God for him. Reverend Ray Ingram, thank God for him. Jerry Lucas, he's not here with us, but his church family, amen, here with us. Pleasant Shade Missionary Baptist Church. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Thank God for them. So thankful for his wife. Amen. Amen. Pastor Lucas' wife is here. Huh? She's here. Bless you. Amen. Stand. Let them see you. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's give her a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank God for her. Thank God for her. We know that. Amen. Sister Thomas is here with us tonight. Come on, y'all. Let's give her a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 And I'm thankful for my wife. Sister White is here with us. Come on, y'all. Let's give Sister White a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 And we're so thankful for Sister Man. Amen. Here with us. Come on, Sister Man. Stand. Let the people see you. Come on, y'all. Let's bless the Lord for Sister Man here with us. Ozark AME Church, St. Paul AME Church in Ozark, Alabama, also historic Cherry Street AME Church in Dothan, Alabama. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. 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 Okay. It's preaching time. Amen. Amen. So thankful for this giant killer. Amen. That the Lord has sent our way. Prior coming here, I was watching China 18 news just briefly and watching the weather. The chief meteorologist, Jordan, was talking about different storms and talking about the weather. Being a meteorologist, he's able to talk about physical storms because of the tools available to him, whether through the satellite system, a drone, but different tools able to help him to determine physical storms. He's a chief meteorologist. He's able to use physical tools to determine physical storms. Mm-hmm. I thought about it. I said he's a meteorologist because he's able to use stuff. Physical tools to determine physical storms. I said, God, I thank you for our spiritualologist. You have blessed us this week with an evangelist who's able to predict spiritual storms because you have anointed him as a spiritualologist. A spiritualologist is able to see spiritual storms because God has invested within us His Holy Spirit. Lord have mercy. And because His Holy Spirit is within us, His Holy Spirit can show us things to come, show us things that we are dealing with right now, and show us things that have bypassed us. And I am so thankful that we have a current spiritualologist that's on point. He preached last night. Lord have mercy. Prepared us for the storms to come, for the storms are right now, and the storms that were behind us. So my Christian brothers and sisters, let us embrace ourselves for the spiritualologist that the Lord has sent our way, the Reverend Eddie Debbie Thomas, the pastor of Mary Magdalene Baptist Church and Mount Sinai Baptist Church. He's anointed and appointed by God. Don't sit in judgment, but sit in prayer. After the choir give us a selection of their choice, the next voice you will hear will be the spiritualist, Dr. Thomas. Thank you.
How'd I make it all these years? How did I make it this far? Through the valley and over the years, I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you wanna know, just how I got here. It had to be God. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. His amazing grace. Oh, I made it. Oh, oh, it was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's way. His amazing grace. Oh, I made it. Oh, how'd I make it? All these years, how did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills, I know it had to be God. How do I make it all through the storms? How do I make it through the rain? If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. His amazing grace. Oh, I made it. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. His amazing grace. Oh, I made it. Oh, it was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. His amazing grace. Me on my way, he placed my feet, and I just want to say thank you for all you've done. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. His amazing grace. I made it by the grace. Oh, it was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. His amazing grace. Oh, I made it.
I made it this far
by the grace of God. It was God's grace.
Church, say amen and amen. We thank God for his marvelous grace. Thank Pastor White, minister of the gospel, who share this preaching moment, choir, all of you, my brothers and sisters of the household of faith. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the gospel recorded by Matthew. Matthew's gospel, chapter 20. And in that 20th chapter of Matthew's gospel, I want to cherry pick a couple of verses, beginning at verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and he talked to them about what was going to happen when he got to Jerusalem. But then verse 20 just breaks up like somebody came and interrupted him. And Matthew records, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. She said, he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they says, yes, we are able. He says, well, you're going to have to do it anyway. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. The other 10 disciples heard it, and they got mad. Jesus called unto them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shouldn't be that among you. For whosoever would be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I want to talk tonight about challenged by the Savior. Challenged by the Savior. When we decide to follow Jesus, we really find ourselves accepting a challenge from a barefoot, raggedy Galilean preacher who, even though he comes across as being meek and mild, there is an iron streak in him. When you corner him, he pushes back. I know you got this idea of this meek-mannered, mild Jesus who never gets upset. But you error in that you don't know Scripture. When you look at him in Scripture, he, as my grandmama would say, is able to shade the ground he stands on. It is such a moment here that is recorded in John's account of the ministry of Jesus that something happens here that pushes him to the point that he draws a line in the sand and issues a challenge to his disciples directly and all of his followers indirectly. He says, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me, then you must have a different mindset. Now, it's interesting that this whole encounter comes in the middle of a period when Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And if you follow it, he does not initially teach kingdom concepts to the multitude. He first teaches kingdom concepts to his disciples. Now, sometimes we mess up because we want folk outside of the kingdom to follow kingdom concept when we ourselves have not yet fully understood what it is to be part of the kingdom. Jesus did not send them out and have them teaching kingdom concept until he had first called them aside and instructed them into what the kingdom was all about. And he's been doing that. And he discovers, like every teacher in here, discovers that just because you taught it don't mean they caught it. And Brother White, I've discovered after years of preaching, just because I preached it don't mean they heard it. It used to bother me, but then I went back and started looking at Scripture, and I discovered that it happened with Jesus, and I'm not nearly the teacher or preacher that Jesus was, and if he couldn't get it across, I don't get frustrated with it. I discover after preaching the same sermon 50 times, folks still don't know what it's about. And so that's what's happening. He's doing that, and in the middle of it, something happens within the ranks of the disciples now that lets them know that they have missed the boat. And he has to issue a set of challenges. And it's a strange set of challenges that this Savior issues, but let me lay the groundwork for what precipitated, what made it happen. Because in the midst of his teaching, the Bible says the mother of Zebedee's children came with her sons. Now the other synoptic gospels record it, but they don't put mama in it. But Matthew puts her in the middle of it, her and her sons. They came to Jesus with her sons. And you've got to look at the text really critically, else it'll go past you and you won't notice it. It says in verse 20, they came to him with her sons, comma, worshiping him, comma. So you've got this period of worship that messes it up. So when you look at it, what made this challenge come about? The challenge developed out of tainted worship. Let me say that again. It was tainted worship. Beloved, I hate to rain on your parade, but it's possible to offer some tainted worship. It's possible to do the right thing, but do it for the wrong reason. And when you do the right thing for the wrong reason, it taints the whole operation. Well, let me use a better word. It contaminates. Taint was my grandmama's word. That's tainted. It means it's not far from being spoiled. It's about 2 days away from being rotten. So we discover here that Zebedee's sons and their mama came to Jesus. And if you don't stop and pause for the comma. That's why it's there. You would get all caught up in their worship. But then you got to see why they worship. And then when you see why they worship, you understand why the worship was tainted, because the text goes on to say, yes, they worship him, but they worshiped him because they desired a certain thing. So why, beloved, are you worshiping? Why are you worshiping? The word worship comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means worship, which means it's an act that shows that something is worth something, and it doesn't have to have any attachment to it. Well, let me put it this way. You don't have to be a fan of basketball to know that LeBron James is good. You don't. My wife and I argue about it all that time, because see, you can look at me and tell I'm not much of an athlete. I'm not hardly into sports. I was too short for basketball, too little for football, too slow for track. So. When I watch the game, I watch the last 2 minutes, and I tell her that's the only part of it that matters, you know. That's the only part where the final score. You go in your room, and you can watch all that, you and the boys, and talk about that play he made and all that. I don't watch all that. I just want to know who won. But I know the man, a couple of years ago, she told us what she really wanted was to go and see LeBron. And I said, okay. And she said, I just want y'all to go with me. And I want to go see him in person. And she went online and she bought the tickets. And she said she got the boys to go where she got the youngest boy to go, because he played sports. And me and the older boy said, I tell you what, you give us what you're paying for them tickets. She says, I want to see him up close. I said, I can take half of what you paid for that ticket. I can go down to Walmart. I can get me a 48-inch television screen. You can see the boogers up his nose. You don't have to be into it to know that he's good. And even though I'm not all into the sport, I recognize that this man is gifted and talented, and he can do things that the ordinary person cannot do. And he's worthy of it. And when we worship God, you thank God for what he has done. But you worship him because of who he is. So if he never does anything for you, any God who can step out on the rim bones of nothing and bring everything into existence, he's worthy of worship because of who he is. But when you hook your worship with your desire, then your worship is contaminated. When you praise him because you expect to get a car, you expect to get some dollars in your bank account, you expect something, your worship has been contaminated, because it is not genuine worship. So the implication of text is, Miss Zebedee wouldn't have never bowed down at his feet if she had not expected to get something in return. And he recognizes that because he's God. He can look past what the old folk used to call the outside show to the dying world. And he can see what the real intent is. So he interrupts her worship and says, "What you want? What you want? Huh? Yeah. All of us been there. Only time we really turn to God when we want something." He says, "That's all right. You can get up. Get up off the ground. Just tell me what you want." And she then says, "Well, I'm here with my boys. And they've been here with you a good while. In fact, you enticed them to leave Zebedee's fishing boat. And we had a pretty good thing going on down there. We had biggest fishing operation down there around that lake, but they walked off and left it. Been with you, followed you. And I want to make sure their future is secure. So I want you to grant me this thing. When you come into your kingdom, I've been here last couple of days and I done heard you talk about your kingdom. But I just want you to promise me that when you come into your kingdom, my boys will have some good seats in the..." Huh? "We don't want no seats in the nosebleed section." I want them to have some ringside seats. I want one to be on the right hand and one on the left hand." And Jesus looks at her and says, "Them some high priced seats. Are you able to drink out of the cup that I drink out of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Those seats go for something." And they say, "Yeah. Our daddy doing pretty good. We are able to do that." Jesus looked at him and said, "Well, you don't know what you're asking about. You going to drink of it, but it's not the kind of drink you think it is. It's not a silver cup, but it's a cup of agony, a cup of sorrow, a cup of misery. And if you follow me, you're going to have to drink of it, even if you were not prepared to drink of it. But even when you have finished drinking the bitter cup, and even when you have been baptized with the agony that I will face in Jerusalem, that still won't get you a seat. Because they ain't even mine to give. Those seats are reserved seats. They are prepared by the Father. But I tell you, I can get you near, but that's going to cost you. I challenge you that if you want to be in the kingdom, I challenge you, you're going to have to do some things. I challenge you, he goes on to say, I'm going to challenge you to become a servant.
Because see, here y'all are, big, strong, husky boys, and y'all fighting overseas. I'm about service, and y'all hung up overseas.
Now, if you go back and walk through the ministry of Jesus, you discover that is a fundamental problem within the ranks of the disciples. We ain't talking about the sinners of Galilee. We ain't talking about the woman at the well who done had the five husbands. We ain't talking about no lepers. We talking about the folk that Jesus chose himself. They got a seat problem. They had a seat problem then, and they got a seat problem now. We are more concerned about how high we sit than how much we serve. And he says, I challenge you. I don't even challenge you to worship me. Now I'm going to rain on your parade again. Go through your Bible and see how many times Jesus asked anybody to worship him. He doesn't go around asking folk to worship him. He asks them to follow him. Because you see, here's what happens. He wants them to understand that he came into the world not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't even come looking for work. And we got all upset when folk don't call us by our title. Get all upset when folk don't pat us on our back. We suffer from what Martin King called the drum major instinct. We always want to be out front and up front. But see, I've watched a lot of parades, seen a lot of bands, and one of the things I discovered that sometimes the drum major can't play no instrument. The only thing he can do is kick high, wave his arms. But the music is being made by the folk that are behind him. But we suffer from a drum major conflict. We always want to be out front. We always want to be seen. We always want to be noticed. But he challenges the disciples. And he challenges us, if you're going to follow me, then you need to serve sincerely. And sometimes you need to serve quietly. You ain't got to let everybody know everything you ever attempted to do. You ain't got to stand in the corner and brag about how good your tater salad is. If it's good, they'll eat it. And if it's no good, they'll pass it on. It will speak for itself. Sometimes you got to allow your work to speak for itself. And he says, if you serve quietly, your work and your talent, your ability will make room for you. You've got to be willing sometimes to stay in the background. It's all right to be a supporting actor. You don't have to be a superstar. My youngest son, he played football. And he got no help from me. His mama helped him with it. But when he made the team, oh, I was so excited. I went to Best Buy. I bought me a nice video camera. All kind of stuff. I show up every Friday night at the stadium. I want to film my boy scoring a touchdown. I know nothing about football. He was an offensive lineman. I sit there Friday night after Friday night. I got some beautiful pictures of him getting up off the ground. One Friday night they played down near Pensacola. I had to wait till the bus finally got back. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and I had it up to here. And I looked at him and said, son, I just want to know, when are you going to score a touchdown? And he looked at me and said, E.T., that's what he calls me. He said, E.T., if you see me get my hands on the ball, it means something done gone terribly wrong. Sometimes in the kingdom, you've got to recognize that you may not ever get your hands on the ball, but you've got to be willing to make a way for somebody else to advance toward the end zone. That's what Jesus meant when he said, the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for others. Well, Willie, let's get out of here. The last thing he challenges them to do, he says, you must be willing to serve sacrificially. That simply means sometimes you got to take a hit for the team. You got to do it so that somebody else can be blessed sometimes by your suffering and by your anguish. Look at what he uses. He doesn't use the verb serve, but he uses the noun servant. And it comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means the dusty servant, the one who wiped the dust off the feet of the guest, never got a seat at the table, sometimes never was able to take part in the meal, but he went about doing his job, knowing that sacrificial service is an investment in the kingdom of heaven. Because I heard the old folk declare, serving the Lord, it will pay off after a while. It means that you're not concerned about your title, but you take pride in your testimony. there is a difference between a title and a testimony. The testimony is the story of the test. It is the saga of your service. I got to get out of here, but when I turn through the pages of my Bible, I find a lot of folk who had big titles but no testimony. Pharaoh had a title, but Moses had a testimony. Ahab had a title, but Elijah had a testimony. Belshazzar had a title, but Daniel had a testimony. Is there anybody, anybody here that can testify? I love the Lord because he heard my cry, pitied every groan, long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. I'll serve him because he gave his life for my deliverance. He gave up everything that was good and took on all my badness. He that knew no sin became sin for us. Isaiah declared he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I have been healed. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising him for his goodness, praising him for his glory, praising him for his resurrection. He died on a Friday, but bright early Sunday morning. God raised him up that we might be blessed. As we stand over this building, he challenges us to a different kind of greatness. For he that would be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, been born of his spirit, wash in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. My story. my song, praising my Savior. The door of the church is open all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. All the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. All the day long.
Church say amen. Amen. Come on, let the church say praise the Lord. All the saints of God shout hallelujah. Come on and give God your best praise tonight. Amen. Did not our hearts burn within us as the man of God preached tonight? Amen. Let's get his preacher a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank God for Reverend Thomas. God to use you one more time. I just love great preaching. Amen. I mean, good preaching, just Lord have mercy. Not only good preaching would make you shout, but good preaching would make you think. And again, critical thinking has taken place tonight here in our church. And we say thank you, Pastor, for challenging us with the Word of God, allowing us to dig a little deeper tonight concerning God's word. Thank you all. Thank you all. All right, Sister White, would you please stand? Greet spouses or the wives tonight. Thank you, honey. You're doing an outstanding job. I'm just thanking and praising God today for my wife. Amen. Sister White, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. She's She's not my honey bun. She's not my, you know, sugar in my coffee. She's not my boo. She's my wife. Amen. And I thank God that she interpreted scripture real good. You know. Amen. I was reading the other day, and the Bible said beauty is deceitful. And I said, I thank God that my wife able to understand scripture and able to break down scripture and knows that that's not, you know, external, but that's internal, you know. Amen. Amen. Because you look so nice. Bless you, baby. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead. Give the wise a hand clap of praise. Thank God for the wise. Thank God for the wise. Thank you, honey. Thank you, honey. Thank you, Sister White, for allowing us to be able to celebrate the wise on tonight. At this time now, we're going to have Reverend Pastor Joshua Mann to come and to greet us. Thank God for him. Thank God for Pleasant Shade, their pastor, being able to, both pastors making a quick adjustment to come and be a part of our revival. We say thank you to the churches, to the deacons. Thank you to the deacons and the stewards for making the quick adjustment to be a part of the revival. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. It was a spontaneous move from both churches. And we thank you all for displaying Christianity. Amen. Amen. So when you all call, move on our part. Amen. 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 So we're sitting on ready. Amen. So thank you all. Thank you all. Brother Johnson, how are you? You doing well, my friend? Good to see you. Good. Look good. Look good. At this time, Reverend Pastor Joshua Mann will come and greet us. Let's get ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow night. It's our last night with the revival, our members. Let's get ready for tomorrow night. Each one bring one, as we celebrate the closing of our revival and remain practical Christians, saved to serve. And then we will be able to, after Reverend Joshua Mann come, then we'll be able to hear from our evangelists. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor White. Truly, truly, did not our hearts burn on tonight? Amen. Amen. Truly, we're grateful to be in the house of worship with you tonight. As he said, it's his time today. Amen. It'll be ours soon, amen? And so we must support one another. I want to say thank God to St. Paul AMB Church in Ozark, Alabama. Them fine folks that come with me, who thought it not robber to be with me on tonight. Thank you, I love you. Y'all travel safe.
Thank you. Again, thank all of you who shared with us this evening. Will you stand? Repeat after me, God be in me, as well as around me, over me, as well as under me. So wherever I go, I will always know that God is there. Good night.